Unconventional Life, the show where twice a week I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Each of these individuals are at the top of their game in terms of revenue and reach in their respective industry, living life in the driver's seat beyond what is traditional or predictable. On this show, you will learn how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck.
It means living a life of passion and purpose.
And what would it look like if you create it from the ground up?
Everything that's shown up in my business has been a place for me to grow or expand as a human being.
I pretty much get paid to be me.
Very frequently, the exact things you think are against you might be the things that are actually the reason you can make it.
I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. We've got a special guest joining us from Santa Barbara, Unconventional. California, Shannon Graham in the house. Shannon, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I'm ready.
Awesome. So Shannon and I actually met through this group called Archangels Academy, and I recently saw him in an article which talked about his coaching, which is what originally drew me to him. So for all of those that are listening, Shannon is a coach that works with highly committed entrepreneurs. And instead of just kind of doing like a one and done kind of session, he developed a program in 2014 called Legacy, where he charges $150,000 for the year for a 3 to 5 year commitment. So working with highly motivated, game-changing individuals that are really making a large impact on the world. So we'll get into some of those stories and how he does it in just a few moments. But with that being said, Shannon, welcome to Unconventional Life. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Yeah, thank you. A kind of snapshot into the day in the life of Shannon Graham is fairly simple, I'd say. My day is split fairly evenly between working on myself and working with other people. So what that looks like in literal form is I like to be active, so I'll do a lot of things for myself, like running, hiking, swimming, weightlifting, things like that. And then just things throughout the day that are helpful to my own development, like reading or meditating, things like that. And then the rest of the day is usually focused on working with my clients on calls very similar to this one, or actually one-on-one in person.
Yeah, I love it. And I know you've been at this work for about 13 years, which is quite a long time to be committed to something. And I know we've got a lot of coaches or aspiring coaches that are tuning in right now. So I know when I was like $150,000 coaching packages, definitely will want to hear the details about that. But before we do, let's go back in time a little bit and share what it was like, you know, Shannon Graham early years growing up. Were you always entrepreneurial? Was your life kind of non-traditional? Tell us about high school. Give us a glimpse.
Yeah. I think I've always been an entrepreneur. I started my first business when I was 12. I grew up in a very small town in Morrisville, Vermont. My childhood was somewhat rough. I got exposed to personal development around the age of 16. And that was honestly as a result of me wanting to break out of this kind of funk that I had found myself in. My mom and dad split up when I was fairly young, and I created a lot of beliefs and stories about how it was my fault and things like that, which led to drugs, alcohol, crime, things like that. So personal development was a great opportunity for me to really turn things around. So when I got exposed to that, I was able to shift myself in some very big ways. And high school went from being this drag that I couldn't wait to be over to something that I was excited to show up to every day. And I actually took it a step further to where I was kind of the unofficial school life coach, in a way. And that's where I really got lit up about helping other people, is because I got into personal development really just out of self-preservation. It wasn't something that I just was like a fun hobby. It was something that I felt like needed to happen. However, once I started to experience the amazing results from it and sharing it with other people, then seeing the results that they could create, that just opened me up to a whole new level of fulfillment that I hadn't felt before.
Sure.
That's what really got me onto the path of coaching. I had a number of different businesses throughout high school and then even after high school, but working with people was always at the forefront of the direction that I wanted to go.
Yeah. So where does a 16-year-old in high school go to learn about personal development? Like, I imagine at the time, like you said, oh, I'm kind of the unofficial life coach. It's like that didn't really exist. And so how did you kind of forage that, or who did you listen to, or?
Well, I got involved with martial arts at a really early age, about age 5. And martial arts is kind of a very unconventional yet time-tested cornerstone of personal development. Most people don't necessarily think of martial arts as personal development. Most people tend to think of it more as self-defense. But martial arts has a lot of personal development built into it. I mean, dedication, focus, confidence, discipline, the list goes on and on. So luckily I had that as a foundation. It didn't completely save me. However, it did save me from totally going off the rails, I can say that. And as far as being an entrepreneur, all of those aspects, as far as focus, discipline, indomitable spirit, all of those things, those are critical for an entrepreneur to have. So I kind of had those baked into my system. And there happens to be this guy that my buddy and I, my best friend and I, heard of, whose name is Tony Robbins. And I guess he's a pretty big deal.
Some dude.
Some guy. So we wanted to get our hands on his material, but it was difficult back then. We didn't have like Amazon like we do these days. So we actually got in the car and we drove 45 minutes to the Barnes & Noble. That was the closest one, was 45 minutes away. And we chipped in together. We put our money together to buy this CD set that he had called Lessons in Mastery. And we drove home. And it was a pivotal moment because we drove home and there was this moment where we were like, maybe we'll start it tomorrow, you know? And we both looked at each other and we said, no, we're going to start it right now. And we just happened to have a CD player in the car, which was like a big deal. And we stayed in the car and we listened to that thing until about 2:30 a.m. in the morning. And that was huge. There were two huge components to that. The first was purely making the decision that now was the time to take action. We weren't going to put it off. We weren't going to feel justified that just because we bought it, that came with some type of transformation. Like, just because you bought it doesn't mean anything. It's once you put it in the player and listen to it and begin to apply it, that's when things shift. So making that decision to take action right then and there was a big deal. And we immediately started to think about how can we apply this? How can we integrate this? And that was a huge shift as well.
Yeah. And for anyone that's listening that may be a Tony fan or may not be, what was the name of that audience?
That one is actually one of his least popular or least well-known programs. But in my opinion, it's his best. And of course, I'm a little biased, but the name of that program is Lessons in Mastery.
Yeah, Love that. So there you are, you're 16, you know, you're in the car till 2 a.m. with your buddy listening to Tony Robbins. And yep. I know you graduated high school a year early. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of this work started to kind of open up or kind of give you some new access into learning. And tell us what it was like coming out of high school, moving, you know, into college or whatever was next for you. But how did sure. you continue on that path for personal development learning? And when did this entrepreneurial thing kind of bridge, or was that always kind of in the background for you?
Yeah, well, the entrepreneurial thing was constant. I've had multiple types of different businesses over the years. And I just knew that I was not the type of person that goes to college. I think that some people really need college and some people really don't. And it's important to know which one you are, because I think a lot of people go to college when in reality they honestly shouldn't. And a lot of people don't go and in reality they should. I had the insight or the foresight to know that I was the kind of person that wasn't going to go to college. I was just clear about that. So I actually just started a couple businesses, and what I realized, one of the businesses, for example, was a Forex business. And for those of you who are not familiar with Forex, Forex is the global currency exchange market. So it's kind of like the stock market, but instead of companies, it's currency. So you trade, for example, the US dollar against the British pound or the yen, like that. I believe it's a $2 trillion a day market. So it is by far like the biggest market in the world. And it is also one of the most volatile in the world. I did fairly well with it. The challenge was it was completely non-personal. It didn't have anything to do with helping people. It was just me staring at screens all day. And so that was a huge indicator that that was a great kind of pivot for me to go, okay, this is not really what I want to do. And it helped me kind of tune back into working with people. And that's when I started to put together this idea of, you know, and coaching was so new back then. There was no blueprint for it. There weren't really any courses for it. You just kind of, if you got into it, you just had to wing it.
Yeah.
But I was so determined to do it that I just dove into it and said, I'll either find a way or I'll make one.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Yeah. So I like this distinction between you're the person that, you know, goes to college or doesn't go, and you should kind of know which category you fit in. And I think yeah. that resonates with a lot of our listeners. So mm-hmm. you kind of self-selecting, okay, I'm not the person that goes to college. That's in my way signaling that you're going to be taking on this whole new path of learning and plethora yeah. of information. And so right. how did you navigate your own learning, and how were you able to sort through all of that information? Like, I mean, even, you know, a lot of our listeners, it's like so abundant being thrown at you all the time. How were you sure. able to learn first off, and then how were you able to sort what you were learning?
Yeah, I think honestly a huge part of it is being extremely picky about where you get your information from. Especially these days, information is so abundant that if you're not really picky, if you don't put a filter up, you'll just get bombarded with anything and everything. So I was very clear about what I wanted and what I needed as far as information. And then I sought that out specifically, and anything else I just kind of like put my guard up and didn't pay attention to. So I got really picky about what information I expose myself to. And I coupled that with a really excellent ability to take it and integrate it into who I was and then immediately apply it. Because I find that information by itself is useless until you put it into action. So, yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. And that point in and of itself, information being useless unless you learn to apply it, I think a lot of our listeners can resonate with, and especially being early entrepreneurs, almost seeing this gap of where you envision yourself being and where you are now. And yeah. I know I've been to your website, and you've got this awesome video that kind of touches a little bit about that gap, but tell all of our listeners, if you're able to go from hearing information to applying it, maybe a step that they could take and being able to see, this is where I want to go, this is where I am now, and how to kind of shorten or close that gap.
Sure. I think people put way too much emphasis on the gathering of information and not enough emphasis on figuring out why they haven't been able to apply it. Most people think that the next piece of information they get is going to be what does it. And then a million pieces of information later, they're still in the same place. I've created a formula that really, I think, helps to bridge the gap. And the formula starts in this order of beliefs, thoughts, feelings, actions, results. Most people want to change the results, but what they don't realize is the beliefs at the top of the structure are literally leading everything. Your thoughts are delegated by your beliefs, and your feelings are delegated by your thoughts, and your actions are delegated by your feelings, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you have beliefs that you're not good enough, or you're not ready, or you're afraid of failure, or what are people going to think, and you're consuming this information, then no amount of information is going to get you over that mental barrier. So it's really about shifting the beliefs at a fundamental level and then being able to easily take action on the information that you have.
Yeah, love that. So in your own life, you know, coming out, not having traditional schooling, learning and assimilating all this information, how were you able to keep going or doing the work on yourself, really, without having someone? Did you seek out mentors or coaches, or how did that play a role in your life?
Well, it's probably 50-50. Because of my martial arts background, I've always been very self. Just because of who I am, I've always been very self-motivated, self-directed. I've never had a problem motivating myself and being inspired and taking action on my own. And I've always had some great people in my corner as well, because no matter how self-motivated you are or dedicated or driven you are by yourself, you can never outrun your blind spots. And having somebody in your corner to say, hey, heads up, there's a pothole on the left up there, makes a big difference. And so I've definitely had some great mentors over the years, along with that self-direction, self-driven mentality, I think is what's made the biggest difference.
Yeah. Love it. So let's talk a little bit about your coaching, because I know you as a coach are a little bit different than, say, maybe the average coach. And I know what got you into creating this particular legacy package, you know, that I introduced in the beginning, the 150K coaching. You were seeing something that was missing in the industry or in the realm of how people learn and assimilate information. So share a little bit about, you know, what kind of who you are as a coach, as Shannon Graham, and then also sure. What you were seeing that really led you to take this approach.
Yeah, well, what I believe in is people. I believe in people's potential. And I believe that I have some very specific skill sets and gifts that allow people's potential to get unlocked. And so therefore, I wanted to create a program where I could work with people very personally over a prolonged amount of time to unlock those gifts that they have. And the challenge was, what I saw in the industry was that the majority of people are moving towards a business model of leverage and automation. So creating products, creating online programs, where they can make a big impact amongst a large amount of people. Now, in theory, it's a good idea. The challenge with it is that I've been in this industry for so long that I know the back-end statistics of those types of things. So, for example, if you have an online course and 1,000 people buy it, 90% of them aren't even going to do anything with it. the majority of them aren't even going to make it all the way through. And for the people who do make it all the way through, less than 2% take action and get results on it. So at the end of, on paper, if you sold 1,000 of your online programs and you told somebody about it, they'd go, wow, congratulations, you made a big impact. But if we actually measured it at the end of the day, it doesn't go that far. And because of my background in martial arts and athletics, I worked with coaches very closely over a prolonged amount of time, and I saw firsthand how powerful it is to work with someone in that capacity. And I think the more digital things get, the more we forget about that human connection. I think it boggles my mind that people travel around the world to run around the desert naked once a year. But they do it. It's called Burning Man, and they pay a lot of money to do it. It's like, why? It's because we're starved for connection. We just want to connect so badly that we are willing to travel across the world to show up to a desert with no food and no water, that's hot as balls and dusty as hell, and run around naked if you choose. And we're willing to do that because we're so starved for connection. And I also think of it like this: the destination must have an adequate vehicle. I do not know of any gold medal winning Olympic athletes that got there via online programs. Yeah. Just doesn't exist. They had one coach or a team of coaches that worked with them over a prolonged amount of time very intensely. That's just the name of the game. And that's true for Olympic athletes. That's true for high-level singers. That's true for high-level, you name it. Like anyone that plays at a high level has somebody in their corner, at least one person. And yet, in the entrepreneurial world, we kind of have this like do-it-yourselfer mentality that's like, no, I'll just tough it out and figure it out and beat my head against a wall until I get there. But what you're wanting is the equivalent of a gold medal in the Olympics, and your vehicle is completely inadequate most of the time. It's like, I want to go to the moon and I'm going to take a dune buggy to get there. It's like,
yeah,
it's not going to get you there. So I realized that the destination that this percent of people that I really feel driven to work with, which are these visionary leaders that truly want to have a huge impact on the world, they didn't have an adequate vehicle. Their options were just really not that great, to be honest. And so I felt like it was my duty to create a model that was truly excellent to take these people to where they wanted to go. And that's just how I wanted to show up and serve in the world. I wanted to play in that way too. I wanted to actually show up and be dedicated and highly committed and work on world-changing type stuff. So that's what I wanted to do. And I saw the need in the industry for that to exist as well. And so I bridge those two things to create the legacy program.
Yeah, I love that. And like I said, for those listening, that's a 3 to 5 year was the goal for the commitment of it. And I know, you know, a lot of young coaches that might be listening, it's like, hey, just an hour session. And so if you were to speak to, you know, any coaches that might be listening that are earlier on in their journey, what would you recommend or what piece of advice might you give them just in coaching in and of itself and maybe the business models around coaching?
Sure. Well, there's a couple pieces to it. I find that as a coach, you can only bring as much value as you have. So my constant focus has been to how can I continuously make myself more valuable. Now, most people's default mindset when they think about that is like, oh, great, I need more certifications, I need more credibility, I need more knowledge. It doesn't actually mean any of those things. In fact, it doesn't relate to those things at all. It's just whatever your natural gifts are as a coach, and maybe some of your acquired gifts, how do you take those gifts to a level of mastery? There's a lot of coaches out there, but there are very few masters of coaches out there. And that's the big separating factor. The reason that I can get away with the price points that I do is because I've decided to dedicate myself to growing and expanding myself, so that when I show up to provide value, that level of value that I can provide is head and shoulders at minimum above most people out there. And that's not to brag or toot my own horn. That's purely to say that I've chosen to focus on different things. Most people are focused on like a website and funnels and things like that, when at the end of the day, they are their own product and their own product development isn't that great. So my biggest encouragement, if someone wants to take things to a really high level, is focus on yourself. Increase your own value, and then the value that you will have to bring to the world is higher. And as far as a business model, create something that allows you to truly engage with people. Just because we live in this age of technology, don't let that fool you into thinking that you shouldn't personally show up and engage with people in a very deep and intimate way. The digital age has confused what making a big impact is. And I kind of spoke to that a little bit. But making a big impact has much more to do with depth than it does to do with width. So create a model that allows you to do that.
Yeah, sure. So if you were to speak to the economic side of that for just a moment, you know, someone listening, I know a lot of people struggle with even putting a dollar value on their time or on their coaching. And for someone like, okay, Shannon, $150,000 a year for 3 to 5 years, like that, I think is a reflection and a testament of who you are and the relationship you have to yourself in the mm-hmm. value that you provide. And sure. So if you could speak just to someone that might be struggling with putting or raising their prices or getting, you know, better clients that are willing to pay them more, what are one or two things they could do or implement or focus on to maybe create some subtle shifts?
Sure. I think first and foremost, what I see with most coaches at the deepest core level is a worthiness issue. They just don't believe they're worthy of charging more. They don't believe they're worthy of being worth more. And so therefore they kind of relegate themselves to this second position of like, I'll just charge kind of mediocre price points. And that tends to attract to them mediocre type people, and they just stay in this kind of holding pattern of like, so-so. So resolving that belief, again, like I talked about, the beliefs, the thoughts, the feelings, the actions, the results are always the sexy part that everyone wants to change, but the beliefs are running the show. So if your price points are not currently where you want them to be, you got to ask yourself, why not? What is the belief that I have that causes them to be where they are rather than where they could be? And how do I shift that?
Yeah, love it. And last little point here before we move on is, if you were to recommend, you know, I know you get a lot of referrals from your clients, and I know that's how you do a lot of your business. But let's say you're wanting to go after, you know, new clientele or a different type of person to work with. What action step might you recommend for someone wanting to expand?
Yeah. So this is a strategy that I call the Bugatti strategy. Bugatti, for those of you who are not familiar, is a very exotic high-end car company, and their cars go for over $1 million. And if you haven't heard of them, it's probably because they don't do any advertising. They don't do any online advertising. They don't advertise in magazines or TV, because advertising for them would actually hurt their brand. They're such a boutique brand. So in my opinion, the best way to go after a new market is to do what they do, which is they seek out their clients. Rather than trying to attract their clients to them, they actually go out and find their clients. Because at the end of the day, a coaching business, really, you don't need a lot of clients, especially if you have premium level prices. So it's not like we're selling toothpaste. We're not trying to get 1,000 people to come to our website. We really only need a couple. So I always encourage people to go out and find their ideal clients and start conversations with them rather than trying to attract a large number of people to you and filter them down into, you know, clients that way.
Yeah. Love it. Such good advice. So I know you've been making a huge impact, especially in New Zealand, with some of the people that are in your legacy program and all the way now to India into transportation. And I know the impact that you make, the legacy that you, you know, live on is a huge driver for you in this work. And so I'd love for you just to share in maybe just a few minutes, kind of what keeps you going in the morning? What has this be a full aligned yes for you to commit your life to doing this kind of work so that you can hold space large enough for someone else to do their kind of work?
And sure.
So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the New Zealand situation. So I'm working with a guy from New Zealand. He works with tech startups, and he recently had a guy that was invited to India to pitch to the Prime Minister of Transportation. And he is now the front runner for a $220 million investment because of his rapid transportation system. And so we're literally changing the landscape of India and New Zealand as we essentially do the impossible. And that's what gets me out of bed early in the morning and keeps me up late at night, is this belief that one person can make a difference. One person can literally change the world. Had I not decided to create the Legacy Program, I would have never had the opportunity to work with this amazing guy from New Zealand and inspire him to play a bigger game, in which he would have never been able to connect with this inventor who created this rapid public transportation system, and then have the confidence to pitch it powerfully to India that completely changes their world, right? So all of these things are related. So the idea that, I think sometimes we get intimidated or we get this daunting feeling of like, man, I really want to change the world, but how can just one person do that? Well, if you're intelligent and you're powerful, then it's possible. And that really is what drives me at the end of the day.
Yeah, amazing. I know we could stay on this for hours. And let's transition. Last part of our show, the rapid fire round. So this is a series of five questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome. All right. Question number one. What is one thing or one limiting belief that you've struggled with that you had to give up in order to find the success that you've had?
Yeah, definitely worthiness. Worthiness. Getting over that, I'm not worthy. Huge.
Yeah. All right, next question. If you could turn back the time and give a piece of advice to your 20-year-old self that you know now, what would you say to him?
Focus on bringing the highest probability of the deepest transformation. Mm. Yeah, so I got confused early on, and I thought that width was more important than depth. And now I understand that it's the opposite.
Yeah, so good. All right, next question. What is one practice or habit that you do daily that you feel contributes to your overall self-care, self-routine?
Meditation and visualization.
Yeah, awesome. Next question. If there is one truth that you wish a person could understand or an entrepreneur could internalize, what one truth would you wish you could bestow?
Probably that you're enough.
Yeah.
You are enough just as you are. Like whatever impact you want to make on the world, you are enough right now to go out and do it.
Yeah. Awesome. And lastly, what does living an unconventional life mean to you?
I think living an unconventional life means that you do whatever you want to do. I think we have a lot of influence in the world about who you should be and how you should live. Unconventional, unfortunately, right now, means just being you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. So Shannon funny. Graham, everyone. Shannon, tell us a little bit about how people can stay in touch with you. And I know you're offering a super generous giveaway. So for all of our listeners, one lucky listener will get the opportunity to connect with you. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the best way to connect with me right now is just on Facebook. I have a fan page, but actually just my personal page is the best way to connect with me right now. And for one lucky listener, I will be offering a 30-minute deep dive with me on the phone.
Yeah, so good. So you can go get your mind blown. Just head over to unconventionallifeshow.com. And Shannon, thank you so much for your time. I know it is quite valuable and precious, and we love having you on the show today. So any last pieces you'd like to add before we tune off here?
You know, the last thing I'd say is if you feel like you are destined to change the world, then that's what you should do. And don't let anything get in your way.
Yeah. So good. Shannon Graham, everyone, Unconventional Life family, another great episode. We will talk to you all next time.
If you would like to win this week's prize giveaway from our show guests featuring free access to their online courses, books, and other impactful tools to help you on the path to living an unconventional life, simply subscribe to the podcast on iTunes now and go to unconventionallifeshow.com to let us know you did. You can also get a second entry by leaving us an iTunes review.